I was thinking as we were praying the rosary and the little meditation prayers before each decade, of all that our Lord suffered to redeem souls, and all of those souls in purgatory now are the same who were redeemed by him. And he had every right to expect these souls to have avoided sin in life and to make up for all of their transgressions. After all, did you know that actually purgatory for man should not be the rule? It should be the exception. That is, we're not supposed to have to go to purgatory, but we've made it the rule rather than the exception. But God didn't want it to be that way. He has given to all of us enough that by the time we die, when that moment of death comes, he has given us enough graces and opportunities to have made up for every single sin that we have committed. He has given us the sacraments. We use them well. Obviously, they take away sin, and they give us sanctifying grace, or an increase of it, if we already have it in some of the cases. And then we have the sacramentals. If we use them piously, it is a means of shortening our purgatory time. Even just to take your scapular, remember how simple this is. To kiss your brown scapular is a 50-day indulgence. As you put it on in the morning or take it off when you have to get showered or something like that, well, kiss it piously. And that helps with your purgatory time. Or the saying of the rosary, the saying of just a few words of an indulgenced prayer, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. How simple it is, and yet how valuable, that it will take away, I believe the indulgence there is 7 years, if I'm not mistaken, and certain other prayers. And then, of course, we have the Holy Mass, the representation of Calvary, all done over again, and all of the graces coming, being poured into your soul. And then, of course, the daily crosses that come your way, if we carry, we bear them with patience and resignation, how much purgatory time that too will take away. God gives us everything that we need in order to avoid purgatory. But then, when he opens the book of life on our judgment day, for most people, they have not used wisely the graces he had given. These must go to purgatory if they have any venial sin left on their soul or have not yet satisfied sufficiently for their past venial sins. We know this well. And there they suffer in purgatory, in the flames of the fire. Some of them, though, are permitted, for example, if they've committed sins in a church, bad communions that they haven't made up for, distractions in Mass. Some of these souls God permits to do their purgatory time in a church, in a chapel. And it's a beautiful thing to think about. Pray, perhaps we have some souls who are doing their purgatory time here in this chapel. Pray for them. But despite all of their sufferings in purgatory, one thing to remember is that they're perfectly resigned to all of their sufferings. Did you know that as soon as the soul leaves the body and appears before the judgment seat of our Lord, the soul knows his unworthiness, whether he's worthy of hell, whether he's worthy of heaven or of purgatory, and he just goes. What an interesting thought there too. But when they're in purgatory, they're so perfectly resigned. They can no longer sin. They can no longer abandon God. And they're certain of one thing, that they will sooner or later see the face of God. And so while they suffer much, they are also resigned to God's will and have the certainty of their salvation. But how good God is to those souls in purgatory, even though they in the past had offended God so much, how good God is to them in return, that he has seen to it that these souls in purgatory should be helped by so many people. It's true, though, it's a sad fact that in our days, nobody believes in purgatory. The Novus Ordo wants to do away with it. The Protestants certainly have no use for purgatory. There's no one left but a handful of traditional Catholics. And how few we are. And how often do you forget to pray for the souls in purgatory? We have to redouble that fervor. But God is good that he has reserved on the liturgical calendar one day a year dedicated to the poor souls in purgatory. And he has said that every priest is permitted to offer three holy masses on this day for the poor souls in purgatory. How loving God is to have thought of the souls in purgatory that much, that every priest can do three masses, not to mention the absolution that will follow after the Mass and all of the other prayers of the faithful and the totius quotius indulgence, that God has thought of all these means of relieving the sufferings of his faithful souls in purgatory. How good he is. But then how good he is to us as well, that whereas he has given us, he has chosen us as the means, the instrument to help the poor souls, he has also been good to us in this sense, that if we help the poor souls in purgatory, then in turn, when those souls for whom we have prayed end up in heaven, then they become our greatest benefactors. They're saints in heaven at the throne of God, praying for you, because you were their benefactor when they were suffering in purgatory. So it's all part of the communion of saints. What a wonderful religion we have, and how God takes such good care of us all. Let us today then finish off the day strong by offering prayers and sacrifices, no matter how small, no matter how insignificant it might seem, offer it for the poor souls. And even offer your sleep tonight, your rest, and every breath of that you take and every beat of your heart, offer it all for the poor souls in purgatory. God knows that they need us, and God knows that we need them as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.